The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from coachingfromabroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey girl.
I would like you to call me the Rona Lisa. For today's episode?
For today's episode. So, we thought today might be a valuable chat since we're in our 1 millionth wave of COVID. And I just recently had it. And and you've had it. So, you know, we have this shared experience we can talk about that probably plenty of other people have had as well, tuning in, since about, like, I think 60% of our population has, you know,
is that
experienced
it?
COVID. Well, that's reported, right? So I think that number adjusts for some, assuming that people are not reporting all cases. So it's, you know, it's our best guess.
With whatever wave of, I keep calling it Omicron, like it's a transformer. That's not what it is at all. What is it? Omicron?
Omicron. Well, Omicron makes it sound way cooler, at least.
So. Omicron. Whenever, whatever wave happened here in upstate New York, at some point the health department was like, you know what? You got good luck. It just like stopped tracking anything. I became best friends with my health, like, person, my health department person when I had it, but we'll get into that.
Well, but we'll get into that. But yeah, it's like, the millionth wave, Omicron makes it, you know, what's the Transformers name? Omicron? I like that. It sounds way more glamorous.
It's Optimus Prime. That's what it is.
Okay. We'll call it here on out the Optimus Prime variant and wave. So Optimus Prime. Imagine robot music. I'm doing the robot. You can't see.
We need to get like sound effects. Where's Andy on that? We need like sound effects.
Well.
Like a radio station. Like, it's Kelly and the dude, you know, and just.
Well, you know, mean old Andy is, I'm editing this all by myself. So
Andy.
If it sounds bad, I can't even blame it on him. Everybody can blame me.
It never
sounds damn Andy, bad. You know, that Andy screwed it up again. Geez, sorry guys. No, it's all me now. So we have kids now. So, you know, this is, I'm getting about as much support as he can give, which is not much, to be fair. He takes the kids. So
he does.
I can do this.
Yeah. So you just had COVID.
I just had COVID. You had the OG variant of COVID back before vaccines, back before we had treatment protocols, back in the early days, the dark ages. So
yeah,
I was hoping you could tell us, because my experience has been probably quite different having it in this era, but I would love to hear, and I think, you know, it'd be really valuable for many of us to hear a little bit about your experience with like the OG COVID, and what was most challenging in that time, in that era of COVID for you?
So thank you for the question, Kelly. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here today. The hardest part, hands down for me, was that I got it in January of 2021. So it was, you know, we all here in the United States anyway, we started to experience COVID in like mid-March when it started to become like a real life toy.
Yeah, in 2020.
And then it was like the summer of no summer, and then it's going away, and then it's like just kidding, it's back. And so it was like the middle, like the coldest week in January. Full 15 days quarantine, you know, because of the way time works. And it was my girlfriend's mom who didn't leave the house. She was visiting my girlfriend, didn't leave the house. We took her out once, and she was wearing this like negligee of a mask. And In her defense, it was a Ruth Bader Ginsburg mask, but it, I don't know. We weren't even near. I don't know how she got, like, it, when you're so incredibly careful and you get it anyway, it's like, ugh, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly where I got it. It was those little vectors of children of mine, you know, because they're too young. They're too young to be vaccinated. Mm. Although just now it was approved for months to four. So, you know, there you go. But those little vectors, those kids give me everything. It's like I have the immune system of a newborn baby when it comes to being exposed to anything they have. I get it. You know,
it's funny that, somehow kids get things and spread them like so innocently. They're like, hello, I'm cute. It's like a horror movie. Like, pet me, I'm cute.
I mean, how was I not going to get it from my kids? I can't isolate from my 4-year-olds. They can't wipe their own butt. Like what?
No matter how hard you try.
I couldn't isolate. I mean, they need help blowing their nose sometimes still. Unless it's like spread across their face, you know?
Yeah, I assumed I was going to get it from some snot-nosed bratty little kid, but I didn't. I got it from my snot-nosed bratty girlfriend's mom.
Mother, yeah.
So she started to feel sick. We completely, not ignored it, but we were like, it's allergies. It's in the middle of January. It's allergies.
Don't we all do that? You know, yeah, we all hope. I think we all hope.
Yeah, it's like getting the stomach bug where it's like, no. I just ate something weird, you know?
It's just heartburn? Yeah,
it's exactly. I'm not going to get it. And then, bleh. Anyway, I quarantined. So I live in an apartment with a woman who's from, you've heard these stories. I live with Peg and she's from Queens. And she was like, Abrica, I don't care if you get the COVID. And I'm like, well, I do. So I quarantined out of precaution in my parents' basement, and which is partially redone. So it wasn't totally awful, but I started to feel symptoms like 3 or 4 days after. So when my girlfriend's mom tested positive, I tested that day, which was too soon, and I got a negative result, but I just had a bad feeling. So I quarantined anyway. Yeah. And 3 or 4 days later, I started to feel sick, and my poor family was like, you're faking it. 'Cause hello, hypochondriasis. And then I started to feel really sick, and then I lost my sense of taste and smell, to which my dad threw down the stairs when I yelled up like, hey, can't smell or taste anything. He threw down a jar of garlic. One, either to vanquish me, which
I think it was possible. That one.
Yeah. I mean, possible. Two, like, what was I going to say? Like, oh, you got me. I've been lying this whole time.
I can smell the garlic. Everything's okay. Want to give me a big smoocheroo, you know? Like,
but it's funny when that happened, when I lost that, because it's a very odd sensation. And those listeners that have lost that sense of, you know, taste and smell, it's very weird. Like, it's hard to explain other than to say you can't smell or taste anything, but it's very weird. Like, you go around smelling. I smelled everything. I smelled everything in that apartment, in that little basement, just to see if I could. I don't know.
Just testing. It's like, right, that hypervigilance sometimes when we're just like kind of testing.
Yeah, I just want to test. Yeah.
Can I smell now?
How about now? Am I like pressing on the bruise? You know, like, am I having those thoughts now? How about now? So, your question, your original question was, what was difficult? The difficulty initially was the fear of, am I going to get it? What's it going to be like? Am I going to die? You know, that small little nugget.
Which I think many of us still have, even though, right, it's less novel and we have a better understanding. So that makes sense. Yeah. Like, how's this going to play out? Right.
Yeah.
It's such a buildup. Like, how's this going to play out? Yeah.
My God bless my mom. When she found out I had it, I don't know why. And she denies this to this day. God love her. She looked down the stairs right after the garlic was thrown at my face and said, what do you mean you have it? Well, I knew a 38-year-old woman who's has it now, is in the hospital, and she might die on a ventilator. And I'm like, and I just looked up at her like, well,
Mama Latham, why?
Why? Why would you say that? So it was like the hard part, I think, the fear and being in a basement in the middle of the winter, you know, in like the coldest week of the year, and feeling just these, I to say isolation probably doesn't do justice to what a lot of people have felt, you know, especially in that first year, but that very prison-esque feeling of, am I going to die here? Or,
by myself in the underground base. Yeah, it really does something to the psyche, being isolated like that, right? It is, they call it like the prison effect. And so I'm curious, like, what did support you? Like, you got this OG variant when it really was still scary. It was, you know, it was several times more virulent. It was several times more severe than it is now, especially without vaccines and, you know, the treatment protocols we now have. So what supported you being isolated? And again, now it's like, okay, 5 days, and then, you know, 5 days wear a mask. But what supported you being so isolated, the darkest days of the year? You know, it's not exactly conducive to health and healing and well-being in the middle of winter in, like, you know, a basement room. Like, again, we're acknowledging it's partially finished. Yay for those spiders and
I
stuff.
Had a bathroom. Like,
you had a bathroom.
Well, I did have spiders, but there was carpet and I had a bathroom.
Okay.
I had a shower upstairs, which was a whole thing. What supported me, I think, flat, unmitigated, beautiful Irish denial, I think, is the number one. This is what I've been working up, like, full, like,
you've been working your whole life for this, right?
You can hear the drums of drumming, you know, like, I am in full dissociative. This isn't happening. I'm fine. And trying to convince my family that I wasn't going to die. I'm fine. You guys are being dramatic. You know, that's the first thing. Physically, and I have to give a shout out to a woman I know in Australia, if you can believe it, all the way down under, which is offensive, I think. Did you know that in other countries, they boil their water in electric kettles? And not on the stove like the primitive beings we are. I had a teapot.
I have an electric kettle. You don't
you
have
do?
An electric kettle?
Yeah. Well, I do now. So I didn't. I had a teapot and I got ripped to shreds by this woman. She was like, you boil your water like in ye olden times?
Ye olden.
And I'm like,
I think a lot of us have electric kettles in the U.S. I mean, we'll take a poll, but
me too. So I got
at least
one.
Like three people.
Well, I don't know.
Well, look at you.
I got one just before COVID, and that physically I just drank pots and pots and pots of, like, fluids. Yeah. But having a sense of humor, knowing that eventually I would try to write about this, I'm working on a, like, Stations of the Cross-esque thing about each day of my COVID.
Yeah.
Watching dumb, horrible movies on this rickety old giant TV, like Die Hard, which, oh my God. I tried to move a lot, you know, I just tried anything I could so I didn't have to sit with my brain, which not sure if that's the most helpful thing to do, but there I was.
Well, our body needs, I mean, that's what, if you think about, I'm not comparing you to an antelope, but I am on the savannah plains.
Love where this is going.
Like, it's just a beautiful, graceful antelope, you know, when they outrace a cheetah or a lion or whatever, the first thing they do is shake it out, move their bodies.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
it really is just one of our body's best ways to sort of mitigate that stress response and regulate our nervous system. So look at your wise body and using creativity, right? Sort of like funneling this experience into a creative endeavor for writing. Like, look at your intuitive body just doing its best to support itself. Like,
I want to say, I think I had to shoehorn it in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was overly intuitive as it was more like, I think I'm going to have to, they have this old elliptical in this basement and I moved it and pulled out my back at the same time. And I knew that I would freeze versus fight or flee. So I had to force myself into this creativity, but, you know, whatever.
A little nudge, like, you know, a little tap, tap. Here we, you know.
I think people think, excuse me. I think we, when we're in a place of facing the thing that we're afraid of, I think a lot of us think that some intuition is automatically going to take over and we'll be heroic. And sometimes it involves tears. And sometimes it involves making an intentional decision to do the thing that is going to make us survive a moment. And okay with that. I'm okay with that choice.
Absolutely. And I think we are heroic, but if we think about, like, any movie, the hero is, like, a dusty mess of a human, right? When they're doing the right thing, like doing what we need to do to support ourselves often doesn't, it feels more like a dogfight and a struggle. And it's difficult because we are feeling painful emotions, right? Like anxiety or panic or whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, these emotions are uncomfortable and they're pulling at us. So it feels right. Like it doesn't feel like this Buddha intuitive moment where we are Zen and one with the universe. No, it's like, all right, I think I got to watch a movie here. I'm going to go a little bit bananas. Like this is going to spiral. Like if I don't do something a little different and just sort of like sometimes peeling, nudging, pulling ourselves in that direction. And it can feel more like a dogfight than like
that's exactly
a beautiful intuitive dance.
As a tiny, teeny, tiny aside, speaking of dogfight, I just watched the new Top Gun the other day. Loved it. Cannot recommend it enough.
I can't believe that man is 60 years old doing
and he has a tooth square in the middle of his mouth. And but I have to say, this is the movie we need in 2022. It's simple. Good guy, bad guy. He fights. It's, you know, he has a personal, you know, conflict. It's just good. It's just simply a good movie. Everyone go see it. It's going to make you feel good about 2022. Anyway, you were saying.
That's just what we need though, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like.
Simple.
What did I just watch? I wanted to I already forgot.
Is it Girls 5 Eva? Did you watch Girls 5 Eva?
No, I don't. I need to do that. What? It's on my list. I'll write it down. Look, do you hear
this
my pen going?
This is the 16th podcast in a row where I've said, go watch Girls 5 Eva on Peacock. And anyway, Kelly Walker, what supported you during your COVID journey?
So.
Yes.
You know, I'm tempted to downplay my experience here.
Don't. Can I just say before you downplay it or don't downplay it?
Yeah.
Different experiences. Yes. Mine was, not going to lie, scary. I ended up being completely fine, like, you know, physically. I still can't eat pickled ginger and I still lose my sense of taste of smell around 5 o'clock. It's really weird, but different. And there was such, I had a few months of buildup. You've had 2.5 years of buildup, you know, so I please don't downplay it. Just very.
I'm tempted. Vastly, you know, I'm tempted. You know, because like really, despite I was in the clinical setting as a nurse during the height of the pandemic and I did not get it. I didn't get it till
saved my life, by the way.
You were really good. I thought you did a good for two people that have struggled with health anxiety. You weren't like, you were very direct with your questions. It wasn't a ton of room in it. Like you really, I could tell you were working really hard with intention and being aware and to really get it at that point in time and not completely spin your wheels is like,
all the work I've done,
you know, like it's like accumulation of all that work. And, you know, I really somehow just even being in the clinical setting, I didn't get COVID until 2 weeks ago. And, a time when vaccines are available, we know how to treat COVID and, you know, the current variant is like far less virulent than previous variants. But, you know, I don't believe anybody that's like, oh, is this like a cold or allergies? I'm like, well, not for me. It weren't, but.
If you're listening, don't downplay it like that. I mean, hopefully your symptoms are that.
I know. I'm jealous for people. Yeah. I mean, my kids, it was like down and out for a day and then play. And I'm like, but I can't.
You little shits.
Let's play, lay down and sleep all day.
I know. So what supported you?
And here's the thing. This is what I kind of want to share with people before I say what supported me. You know, I think some of us may be tempted to downplay it because we do know more now. There are less unknowns. But here's the thing. Like you sort of said, our nervous, we've been in this for 2.5 years. Our nervous systems don't unlearn the fear and trauma of a global pandemic overnight.
Yep.
It's just not how it works. Our nervous systems learn through repeated experiences of safety, which is challenging when the pandemic is still a part of our daily lives 2.5 years later. It's still part of daily conversation.
Not just the pandemic. It's pandemic and wars and news and all the things that are happening in the world. And I don't think we have felt nervous system wise less safe in a long time. And that's hard.
And it's hard. It's cumulative. And you know, as someone that wasn't overly worried or fearful during the height of the pandemic. I mean, I was able to get my vaccine quite early as a nurse. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I I feel like the gap between when we weren't allowed to go anywhere and then when we started getting out there, like I felt like my gap of, you know, that sort of risky time was pretty narrow because mm-hmm. I got to get the vaccine very early. And I still cried and felt afraid when I saw my positive test a couple weeks ago. Really, the recent data, no matter how promising, wasn't a source of comfort for me.
And, oh, no.
And you know what? If there's other people out there and the data and the logic and all the really wonderful, you know, wonderful things we're hearing now where like hospitals aren't filling up, people aren't on ventilators, like it's much different now. Like those things are really wonderful. I'm glad we're in a new phase. I'm glad we're sort of transitioning to endemic instead of pandemic. That's mm-hmm. wonderful for all involved people, healthcare providers, everything. But it's okay if there's still fear here. You know, we've found a groove with the pandemic. There's far less unknowns, but our nervous system needs time to really integrate a felt sense of safety, which is just yeah. a fancy way of saying, not just knowing intellectually that we're safe, but feeling that in yeah. our bones, right? Like yeah. feeling that in our body. So what did I do? What did I do to support myself? Well, I did not lean into data and facts too much because that's not yeah. it's just not what makes me and like my nervous system and my body feel safe. It usually just has the potential to kind of send me into like a thought spiral.
Well, that's like Google trap.
It's like Google-esque, right? Yeah. It's Google adjacent, I feel like. And just as a nurse, I have like some really great resources to like medical websites. And I was like, nope, I don't need to do that right now. Is not the time. And I'm someone that loves data. So it's a little different for me. It feels like a little out there because I love data and logic and facts and all that jazz. But instead, I honestly leaned into loved ones, especially my mm-hmm. husband, Andy. I asked him, I knew this is what I needed. I asked him to keep an eye on me for concerning symptoms, which made me feel taken care of and safe. And I have yeah. a lot of trust in him. I know he wants me to live. The stakes are high. He does not want to be a single parent.
Yeah, he's like, I love you and all, but you know.
Like, he's like, I need you. So I have trust in him. And putting some of my care on him allowed me to take a step back and let go of some of that like hypervigilance where I'm continually checking again on those sort of apps and platforms I have access to as a healthcare professional. It allowed me to step back from being my own hypervigilant nurse. So that really helped feeling connected and taken care of. That really is like the love language of our nervous system. And he also gave me extra back rubs throughout the days I was sickest, right? Back rubs. Damn him. And also, I'm really glad he didn't really get very sick at all. Of course he didn't. He's just
Andy.
Damn it, Andy. It's not fair. But I am glad because he does have cold-induced and like exercise-induced asthma. So there was a piece of me that was concerned, like, how will this play out? What will this look like? So I was really glad that he did on his 11th day. He did a 16-mile hike in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Andy. I would have died. Like,
why does Andy do things?
He's like, I had the plan. It's day 11. I'm safe. I'm testing negative. I can be around my friend Matt. And he went off and did a 16-mile insanity. So we don't all have to do that. Let's not overachiever. So, but leaning into him really helped. And the extra back rubs, because really back rubs are my first, second, and third love language. I'm very touch hungry. So that's
touch hungry. I'm food motivated.
And like I'm, touch hungry. I am. Anybody, you're a stranger. You can give me a back rub. It's fine. Not at all a safe thing to do, but God, I really love
the two
a back
most
rub.
Ridiculous people I've ever met. I just want to let you know.
And what else? Oh, to add to the, so what else supported me? All the Sandy Bullock movies, you know, I mean, not 28 Days or whatever that one is, but like, you know, like Blindside and
is 28 Days when is 28 Days like when they get COVID and she has to wear a
that's I think it isn't it?
Oh no, that's 28 Monkeys. That's 12 Monkeys. Oh God. Oh, I'm worse than you.
I know.
28 Days is when she's in rehab. 12 Monkeys is a different, completely different cast.
Maybe I'm thinking of 28 Days Later, which is like a zombie. I can't do zombie. Oh, sorry, Sandy. She's not in that one, 28 Days Later, I don't think. If you're listening, Sandy, I'm really sorry. Oh, and if you need a feel-good movie, she's in a great new feel-good movie with Channing Tatum. I think it's called The Lost Island. It was so funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Harry Potter's in it.
That's That's what we needed. So Sandy Bullock movies, I don't know what it is about them, but they just, I don't know, it's because they're familiar or just lighthearted. Yeah. But those were where it was at. I chatted with friends to feel connected. I mm-hmm. called you on one of my walks, you know, yep. I leaned into my grounding exercises.
You called me on one of your walks and you were like, hello, I'm doing oh great.
Just call Andy if I collapse walking up this very small hill, please. Oh, it's been nice knowing you. I also leaned into my grounding exercises, which, you know, I've been practicing these for a while, so they were accessible to me in like a more heightened state, but they really helped me sort of come back to right now. It was like, they would help me wake up from some of the, like, what I like to call thought mares, you know, instead of a nightmare, ooh. Like just mm-hmm. these thought mares that would come up, like, you know, being pregnant, being in the hospital for a month, like, what if I have to go back to the hot, and, you know, just sort of feeling my feet on the ground. And mm-hmm. for me, connecting with my breath is much more helpful now, and it's accessible to me now. And I've been practicing this in, like, you know, outside of COVID or outside of being sort of overstimulated. So it was more accessible than I was sort of, than I would have expected. And it was nice and would help me kind of come back to now and remember, oh, geez, right, I'm here right now and I'm okay right now. Oh, thank God. Like when you have a really bad nightmare and you wake up and you're like, oof, I'm really glad I'm in my bed.
What's interesting, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but more about me. That was a joke. I tried to do some like grounding stuff when I was in my height of my Rona journey and I felt really uncomfortable. I didn't want to feel the symptoms. I didn't want to feel like they were so triggering.
I know that's it was like, especially I could see how breath would be triggering. My breath was always easy to me when I had COVID. It was okay for me, but I could see how wanting to be out of, like, there were moments where like I was like so achy and I just, you know, I would do like really gentle yoga and movement, or like you, I'd call my short walks just to sort of move some of that around a little bit, some of that. But yeah, I could see why being in our bodies and like connecting to our bodies could be triggering.
It doesn't mean that like mindfulness still helped, or presence maybe. Like what's a non-buzzword for what I tried to just do? And it was a different experience to when I was like in mid panic, where it was like, I need to run from this, like a fleeing sort of do.
Right.
It was more like an intentional, like, okay, I'm uncomfortable and I'm mentally uncomfortable. What if I, at one point I painted a birdhouse, like what if I, you know, or it snowed a lot because
birdhouse. said birdhouse.
I shoveled a lot. Don't ask questions, but it snowed and I was at my parents. I went outside and I shoveled a lot, and something about like the very mundane, very cold, because I forgot. I packed, when you pack everything that you need for 14 or 15 days in like 5 minutes, you will bring your electric kettle. You will not bring pants.
So you will not bring snow pants for shoveling the driveway.
Pants.
Oh, just pants.
I just forgot.
Were you out there in your underpants?
I had to Amazon myself some pants. Not kidding. Like, lots like sweatpants, any pants. And I had to wash some yoga pants in like the sink in my bathroom. Like Kelly, it was wild, but So like what, it's just interesting how like your way of getting present and grounded in your body was to like go inward.
It's like connecting. We can connect with our body or we can connect with like the external environment. Either way, same effect, right? Like this.
But isn't that what we preach? Like there is not one stop shop. If somebody's trying to sell you a one stop, here's what the thing you need to do. It's like, LOL.
Do what works for you. Because there are times when I could not drop into my internal experience to find calm. There's still times now, like if I'm on a plane, I'm not dropping into my internal experience or I'm going to poop my pants right
there. You're too busy watching the wings. Don't like to keep flying.
Yeah. I am holding that plane together with sheer force of will. I'm not going internal. I'm not getting distracted.
You're not superstitious. You're a little stitious.
So, you know, I just like to say, you know, if anybody out there is still struggling or this is still affecting you and data and logic don't achieve that safe feeling we're all looking for as humans, feel free to reflect on what really does make your nervous system feel safe, because everything's a little different for each, right? Like just like sort of your way of finding presence was different than mine in that moment. And someone else's is going to be different than that. So it's just like tapping into ourselves, listening to ourselves, like, hey, what's actually going to make me find a little bit of ease and calm? None of this support, by the way, eliminated all of the fear and anxiety. It just made it, challenging, but like manageable, doable.
Yeah. It's that whole thing that you've talked to, you know, you've had great interviews just recently. Even you had an interview of like, when something happens, you know, the big thing we're afraid of, you're just sort of there doing it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that the fear goes away, but that pressing doom anxiety might.
Right.
You know, it's a different kind of thing. It's more action oriented than just like sitting and dreading.
And it's more like instead of second, third, fourth arrow, right? It's a little bit more innocent. Yeah. It's a little bit more raw experience versus sort of layering on all the stuff that we can do, right? If we're caught in anticipatory anxiety.
And how many times have we heard that we've said personally, of all the hard things we've done in our life, anxiety is the worst thing.
Still the hardest. Yeah. And I think since I've originally said that, right? Like I've been in the hospital for a month. Hard things have happened to me. I've been really sick. Anxiety is still way harder than any of that. And so my computer's at like 6%. So I want to make sure
electricity for this.
I didn't charge it. I was busy cleaning pollen off everything this morning. It's just like, it's like it snowed pollen in here.
Oh God, if this cuts off in the middle of you doing the outro, I'm going to just die of joy.
Just going to die of joy. Finally, okay, so. I messed up. I want us to share. So I have two things.
Yeah.
You already shared one, but I want us to just share a couple things that weren't helpful. So, if you're listening in and you're supporting someone with COVID or supporting yourself, here's what you don't say to yourself.
If it presses against your own fears, just hear the words coming out your mouth.
So here's what you don't say to somebody that was recently diagnosed with COVID.
Yeah.
Which is, are you ready for this?
Oh, I can't. What did I say it?
No, you didn't say it. This is what you don't say to somebody. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Someone that I know that was vaccinated and boosted in their early 40s just died.
Just died.
Which I am very. I feel sad for that. I do.
Of course.
I feel sadness and empathy and. But also I'm in the middle of it and we're self-focused creatures. And I'm like, oh my God, am I going to die? That's all anybody thinks when they hear that. Whether you struggle with anxiety or not. If someone's like, oh my God, someone had that same thing and died. If you're a human, you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm clearly going to die.
As a postpartum doula, I hear this so much. We hear when somebody's like, I'm pregnant. We immediately people tell horror stories.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You were pregnant. Well, one time, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we won't go into it. But what is the opposite of a platitude? Because that's this phenomenon to me.
Yeah, I know. What is this?
There's got to be some sort of term.
But I think it's well-intentioned. Like the person that said, the person that said this is one of like, she's like very kind and soft. Yeah, it was a little surprising, you know?
I need to relay this fear I've had, and I'm so worried about you because I care about you.
Yes, and kind of putting it on me. Yeah.
You, then you won't die.
Yeah,
because I've now gotten it out. I've said it.
Yeah,
Bloody Mary three times in a mirror, and it's like Beetlejuicing it.
I slept with the light on for 1 year after hearing about Bloody Mary at camp, at YMCA camp. That's what you get for going to free camp. Like you hear about Bloody Mary
camp.
Ugh. God,
it was probably your mom who told you about Bloody Mary. Oh my God.
It was like, I could not go to the bathroom at night. There was just all the lights were on. My dad's like, gosh darn light. What do you think? Money grows on trees, you know? So
super supportive.
All
right. So I already told you about my mom doing the same exact GD thing by looking down the stairs and going, oh, why did you get COVID? Because I know somebody who died of COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
The second thing that was super unhelpful, I love my family, I think. And I love my brother-in-law. I love him. He's the coolest dude on earth. He is raising the three coolest chicks on earth. my nieces. But this guy, God bless him, he was trying to be so helpful. And he read to me, or he copied and pasted this thing from Facebook, LOLOL. That was like, I think I like completely blocked this out now until you asked me, but it was like, you need to have 3 scoops of peanut butter in the morning before 9 a.m. And so, you need to sit in a chair and you need to stretch your arms in this. And it was like the most specific, like, it was like, you know, boil, boil, toil and trouble. You need eye of newt, you know, the tongue of a frog. You need peanut butter.
I remember
you
calling me and I was like, Erica, here's the actual recommendation.
You were like, are you on birth control? Take a baby aspirin. Get a lot of fluids, you know.
But I know it's like, I know exactly what you mean, especially in the start of the pandemic. It was like,
oh my God.
But it's like, just throw something on a wall, see what sticks. You know,
epidemiologists don't know what's going on. What do you think your Aunt Myrtle on Facebook knows? You know, what do you think old Bethany knows about? And it was like very specific, like wiggle your toes every hour on the hour. And I have no idea.
And when we're feeling vulnerable, we're like, well, geez.
Yes, that's when I texted you. I was like, so.
I mean, you already had a hunch, you know, but I think you were just like, I'm like, well, I have the updated protocol right here. Here are the recommendations. And you're like, okay, thanks. That's what I thought.
Yeah. And I was taking like 300 zinc and vitamin D capsules. And you were like, funny fact about vitamin D, it's fat soluble. You need to take it for weeks before it even makes an effect. Like, you just gave me facts about, like, you weren't like, oh, that's, you didn't downplay.
No. Because vitamin D does affect immunity. You know, it is good if we have, it's not, that's, we are finding, right? Like, that vitamin D enhances immunity. And people that are vitamin D plentiful versus deficient are faring well, are faring better.
Let's just stop right here and say, you do not need to go out and buy and or consume all of the vitamin D in 3 counties.
Because again, it takes so much time. It's like 6 to 8 weeks. It takes an incredible amount of time if you are deficient.
Right.
It's like, you can start while you have COVID, but it's not going to do anything.
Right. So when I was drinking my emergency tablets, you should have seen the regimen I had. And you were like, well, that's, you know what?
Simplify it a little if you wanted. You're like,
such a coach about it. It was awesome. You were like, here's, you could do that if it makes you feel good. And the benefit is that you're getting some fluids. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't have to do this like a, you know, crazy person. And you were like, well, let's not say
crazy. And that is when we didn't know what we know now, right? Like, that was before we had any treatment protocols and the whole ivermectin business. So, I mean, it's, to be fair, then it was harder for you, you know, for you or anybody in that situation to kind of know how to navigate it, because again, there's lots of people out there throwing around suggestions. So
can I say this too, real quick? So this is when the health department would call and say like, oh shit, you got COVID. My health department lady called and was like, hi, I'm Jennifer. And we talked for hours every day because she was like, please talk to me so I don't have to call anybody else. And I was asking her like, well, what do I do? What does my girlfriend's mom do? And she was like, girl, we have no idea. She's like, nobody knows. Like, but she's like, I will talk to you forever. She was a saint. She was, you know, drank a lot of fluids. She's like, don't touch anything in your parents' house, you know.
Like, Jennifer, I'm here by myself.
Jennifer in Rensselaer County, if you're listening with Sandy Bullock, let me tell you.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, but also you didn't know anything, so you're useless. But thank you. Thank you so much.
She probably knows so much more now.
Yeah, but they stopped calling.
Now, I know. They stopped calling. They're like, yeah, good luck. Good luck, everybody. Yeah, we're just going full hog ahead. Good luck.
Yes. What else wasn't helpful for you?
The other thing that comes to mind is another lovely family member that dropped off food, you know, from a distance. And I was really grateful because I was not, you know, logistically prepared for this. Dropped off food and, you know, she was like, well, you know, since you're vaccinated and boosted, hopefully you're not going to have to go to the hospital or anything like that.
At least
it's not January, like when you were there, when you were pregnant. I'm like, thank you for bringing all my past traumas. I've already envisioned this nightmare.
Oh.
Like, thank you. But we did
at
have
least
really
she leased you?
She, yeah, she
girl, you know me. How I feel about at leasting.
I know it's, and every, you know, again, it's well-intentioned, but there's, at least sort of invalidates an experience right off the bat. So, you know.
Oof. Can we just start a new trend along with like,
just get at least out
getting
of
rid of high waist or low, what is it? Low cut jeans. Is that the thing that they think is coming back?
Please don't. When I'm we're a getting mom. Rid of
the, no, my keep butt the
high
crack,
cut, please, please keep my the high
butt crack goes to my neck.
Yeah. Like, please keep the please. High rise. I love it.
Please. For God's sake, for Christ's sake, if not for my sake. The other thing I think we should get rid of is at leasting. Can you just be uncomfortable with someone else's tears? Can you just say like, this sucks. I'm sorry you're going through
that's
this.
That's all it takes. It's like, boom. Oh, this is hard.
Yeah. Here's some takeout.
Can I do anything? Do you need anything? Yeah. It's like, it's that easy. So, you know, if you're struggling in any way or form, share this little 1 minute blibbit of the podcast.
Yeah.
This is how you support somebody. Like, yeah. Oh, man, sorry. That sounds really hard. Can I get you anything? Can
it's
I help?
It's hard and there's been a buildup on this and oof.
All it takes is just here's acknowledging,
a show you should watch. Yeah.
Supporting, and people feel, talking about like a felt sense of safety in our nervous system, that really regulates us. When someone doesn't have to fix anything, but just says, man, I hear you. And can I help? Like our nervous system is like, like a warm, fuzzy blanket. Like that is, that is what we need. So no at leasting. I've decided that's the new takeaway.
No at leasting.
And you know,
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. And you know, I don't have much more to say, and I'm not about silver linings, but I did get a trampoline.
What?
It was my COVID present from Andy. Let me bring it back in.
A trampoline.
I have like a 14-foot trampoline out there I'm looking at.
14 feet.
Yeah, it's 14 feet. And I pressure those kids to jump on it every day. I'm like, who wants to do the trampoline? I'm like, I'm tired. Can we watch My Little Pony? Nope.
Do you have a net around it?
Oh, yeah. Andy said we had to have a net because we have 4-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And to be fair, like when I jump them, they like fly and bounce off of it. It's probably
You do the double jump? You ever see the show Community?
They love the double jumps.
You don't double jump.
Oh, I double jump them all the time. And they love it. And they're flying every which way. So I did get a trampoline. I have wanted a trampoline since I was like 9 or 10. And my mom told me, if I saved for one, then I could buy it. It was $395 at the BJ's Wholesale Club. And
this whole sentence.
I saved. It was $300. Trampolines are cheaper now, I would like to say. This trampoline was not $395.
I need to hear the rest of this trauma. You saved $395 and
for 2 years. It was like 2.5 years. All and my birthday, Christmas
did
money.
Did she take
everything.
All the money and go to the casino?
All my allowance.
What'd she do?
No, she just... I had enough. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go to BJ's Wholesale Club now. My mom was like,
BJ's Wholesale Club.
You know, I'm here to realize my dream. I've been saving. She's like, what? We have a pool. We're not getting a trampoline. And I was like, what?
Your therapist must be rich.
And I was like, yeah. I mean, so long story short, dreams can still come true at 35, especially if you get COVID. I have my trampoline. Ha ha.
Take that, mom.
Take that, mom. Take that. Yeah, take that. I got my trampoline and I, you know, make my kids jump on it with me every day. So there's that.
I have so much to say about this and you don't have enough computer battery.
I don't. It's about to go. So I think I think we have to say goodbye for the day. And this is, wow, like, 42
can
minutes.
I just say, like,
hi, guys. I hope you're still listening.
Carnegie, Rockefeller, they had a dream and they built empires. You and I. You had a dream for a trampoline.
Just a trampoline.
Yeah. And I just want waterproof headphones for my birthday. We need to dream bigger.
Okay. New moral of the story. We need to dream bigger.
Holy Jesus.
I'll do a dream vision board for next time.
Well.
There'll be a collage and cutouts. Okay.
Well, you know what Peg would say about this?
What would Peg say?
Erica, you go get your trampoline if you want to. If you want to jump, you jump to the friggin' moon. You jump. Go get it.
I think we obviously have to have Peg on.
Yeah,
she
needs to be a guest. I got that anxiety. Oh, I love Peg. She's my favorite person.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that is our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for one-on-one coaching or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a discount on your first coaching package there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.